This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the Drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
We're live, and tomorrow we'll be live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And thank you and welcome to a half hour nonstop talk. Great to be with you on this busy, busy Thursday. Everybody's talking about Governor Ron DeSantis and what happened last night, his message, his thoughts, and I want to get your thoughts as well. We are streaming live on YouTube right now at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD's YouTube page, 855-839-1210, on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So after we talked about the technical stuff of Ron DeSantis, let's talk about some of the substance of what he talked about last night. So first of all, speaking of the DOJ and the FBI being weaponized, he was on with Tom Massey during the Twitter stream yesterday. And you know I love Tom Massey. I think he's one of the greatest fighters of freedom. Yes, Henry, it's better. Thanks, buddy. One of the greatest fighters of freedom that there is. And he's the guy who's a member of the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Government. So Massey, who's a true libertarian fighter for freedom in the Constitution, is backing DeSantis. That's made a lot of people upset with him. But no, listen, he likes the guy. They're friends. They've served in Congress together. He likes him. And he thinks DeSantis is the real deal. He likes Trump, but he likes DeSantis better. All right. Doesn't change the fact, though, that for Tom Massey, fighting the government and fighting the weaponization of the government has been priority number one for him. He's fighting the ATF on the pistol brace rule. And so when DeSantis and Tom Massey were talking yesterday, they talked about the weaponization of government. And DeSantis said it's one of the key things that needs to happen. Because right now, the FBI is facing a deadline to give Congress all the information related to the Joe Biden bribery allegations. Let's remember something. As we talk about the former president may be indicted, which he should not be. This would be an egregious, overzealous prosecution, in my opinion. But this is a weaponized Department of Justice. This is a Department of Justice that exists to serve the needs of the Democrat Party. That's why I could see them indicting Trump. Not because he deserves it. He doesn't. But because they are hell-bent on getting him. But there are allegations that Joe Biden himself engaged in bribery. There are the allegations, of course, around Hunter Biden's business dealings. That 10% for the big guy, he was taking money, right? Well, there's also allegations that Joe Biden himself engaged in bribery with a foreign nation. The FBI has the file on this. Congress has demanded they turn it over. The FBI has said to Congress, drop dead. The FBI should not be able to tell Congress to drop dead because Congress has the absolute legislative authority over the executive when it comes to oversight. But here we are. So when he was on with Trey Gowdy last night, Governor Ron DeSantis was asked about the FBI and the Department of Justice, and this is his pledge that he will do if he's elected president. Cut two.
What would you do to change or fix both of those entities? What are you looking for in an attorney general, and would you keep Chris Wray as the director of the FBI?
No, I would not keep Chris Wray as director of the FBI. There'd be a new one on day one. I think that's very important. In terms of an attorney general, you need someone that's got a really strong backbone. You need somebody that knows if you're going in there and you're taking care of business, the Washington Post is not going to like you. New York Times is not going to like you. You're going to get attacked by CNN, and you got to wear that as a badge of honor. You can't try to please polite society, because otherwise you'll just get captured by the institution itself. And I think the DOJ and FBI have lost their way. I think that they've been weaponized against Americans who think like me and you, and I think that they become very partisan.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that he wants to fire them. He should. The FBI and the Department of Justice have absolutely lost their way. There's no question about it. No question. And Christopher Wray is one of the absolute worst. He's a swamp creature of the absolute utmost. He never should have been appointed. You know who recommended him, right? It was Chris Christie. Chris Christie recommended Christopher Wray to Donald Trump, and that was one of the biggest mistakes of Trump's presidency. That and Bill Barr. I mean, look, Bill Barr is a swamp creature himself. Ruby Ridge, the FBI's abuses go back for years, decades, as a matter of fact. And these guys were at the epicenter of the weaponization of government even back then. Now, Trey Gowdy asked DeSantis about Ukraine. What would we do about Ukraine, and would there be a settlement if we're still in Ukraine in 2024, 2025, when he becomes president? What would he do, and will he support U.S. troops on the ground? Cut number three.
All right. You wore the uniform. If you are elected president, you may be the first one in a while to have worn the uniform. How would you address the ongoing war in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine on day one of a Ron DeSantis presidency?
Well, first, I think what we need to do as a veteran is recognize that our military has become politicized. You talk about gender ideology. You talk about things like global warming that they're somehow concerned in. That's not the military that I served in. We need to return our military to focusing on commitment, focusing on the core values and the core mission. That would be something that I could take care of on day one. There'll be a new sheriff in town as commander in chief. And I think you'll see recruiting start to get back to where it needs to be, because people don't want to join a woke military. And I think it's been really, really problematic. Look, in terms of what's going on over in Eastern Europe, you know, I'd like to see a settlement of this. I do not want to see a wider war. I think it's completely unknowable what it will look like in January of 2025. But I would not want to see the United States with our troops get enmeshed in a war in Russia or in Ukraine.
Bubba 45 on Twitter says, I don't need another Bush presidency with DeSantis. Bubba 45, I'm guessing 45 for Trump. You can weigh in on Twitter, by the way. There's some comments coming on. Cyber Egg says, I look like I'm 15. Thank you. I appreciate that. Very nice. I got my hair cut today, and I said to Jackie, who cuts my hair, I said, please get rid of all the grays for me. So did a little Just for Men. You know what I mean? Get all the gray out. Gonna wash that gray right out of my hair. Just kidding, Matt DeSantis. I didn't take the gray out.
Is there even any gray to begin with?
There was a little bit of gray there.
Never
I have three kids. Of course, there's gonna be some gray. You know what I mean? But not enough where I would dye it. But I would dye it one day. I'm that vain, obviously. Although I have a friend who is convinced that the salt and pepper look on men is actually very, very elegant. But as I said to David Yagaroff, who's my boss, the market manager slash senior vice president of Odyssey for Philadelphia. And I said to him, you know, I said, a friend of mine said, salt and pepper looks great in a guy. He said, well, what did you expect them to say? Like, you look like an old man, you know? Of course they're going to say something nice. Everybody always says nice things. So tomorrow at the Grand Hotel, if you're there, you can tell me if I'm getting a little gray on the side. It's called Reagan. That's what it is, Matt DeSantis. It's called Reagan.
Yeah, at the broadcast tomorrow, tell Rich he's looking old and buy him a Bud Light.
Do not buy me a Bud Light. I won't drink it. I will pour it out in front of your face. I'd give it to Henry, but Henry's not going to be there tomorrow, so.
Henry's abandoned us.
Yeah,
sorry
I
to hear that, Henry.
You guys are abandoning me.
Why don't you guys turn on the camera so when I chat with you, I can at least everybody can see you at least. Can we do that?
I suppose. Do people really want to look at us though?
Yes. If I'm having a conversation with you guys, they want to see what you look like.
I'm just sitting here typing away, skimming through new articles as they post. Not a whole lot of exciting activities occurring in this studio.
Well, it says join Rich and the crew, and you guys are the crew, literally the crew who keeps this show going. There you go, Matt DeSantis.
Like how Henry moved.
And as our executive producer, Matt DeSantis.
What do you want from me? All right.
Well, people wanted to see me. Now they can only see my body. All right, now my head's in there.
And there's Henry, and there's the mullet. Show him the mullet, everybody. Come on. Henry, show him the mullet.
Mullet shaped up, I believe.
I did get a haircut yesterday.
Let it flow. Oh, you did?
I did.
That's a shame.
It had to happen.
And Henry.
It had to happen.
This is the crew. These are the guys who keep the show on the rails as much as they possibly can, which is not easy with me because I take the show off the rails all the time. But
like a few minutes ago when you sent me an audio clip and I had to tell you it was already on the show sheet.
Well, that's because there's 6 pages of show sheet today and I glanced over it and didn't and I missed it. So tomorrow, good luck, though, keeping it on the rails because there'll be drinking involved and there'll be all of the shenanigans of a live show involved. So it's always fun, you know. Now, the one thing I'll say is when we do these live shows like we're going to do tomorrow in Cape May at the Grand Hotel, it's a great way to make friends and to meet like-minded people. I will not leave that room tomorrow until I've said hello to each and every person who's in the room. That's a big point of mine. So if you want to stay and say hello, take a picture after the show, great. During the show, though, gets a little tough to do because, well, these breaks are not long enough, and we are always during the break talking about what we're going to do next. And so, but after the show, absolutely. We'll take pictures. We can do shots. I'm just kidding. I don't do shots. Please, I can't do shots. That would kill me. Matt DeSantis does shots, so buy DeSantis a shot tomorrow.
I don't want shots. I can't do shots.
Buy them and take them from me, please.
Jello shots. Henry would do a Jello shot tomorrow, right?
Ugh, those are so gross. Just give me a regular shot.
Newman Price says Henry has hockey hair. It's the MacGyver cut. See that?
Love it.
I'm having
look at that, huh?
Tomorrow, exactly what I'm going
by the
for.
Way, now that you mention it, because this show doesn't stick to a very strict clock to begin with. Tomorrow we have so many guests, so many moving parts. I assume you'll be inebriated pretty early on.
Yep, good assumption. Yep.
There's no way we stick to the clock.
No. And am I really not in the shot anymore because of the way that it looks? I see my shoulder.
I just changed it.
Oh, there you go. Thanks for putting me back in the shot. I appreciate that. All right. Well, thanks. I don't want to make you guys stay on camera the whole time. I know it's a little uncomfortable, but maybe you can come back on when I talk to you. Can we do that?
Sure.
That seems fair.
You just have to hit a button, right?
Pretty much.
All right. Let's practice. All right. Go off camera. All right. Now come back on camera. Let's see if we can do this right. All right. Now come back to camera. Come back.
Hey, it worked.
I'm trying to get these guys back on camera and they're ignoring me right now. I don't see you. Oh, maybe there's a delay. That's probably there's a delay. Oh, there it is. All right, great. All right, now get off camera. Enough of you people. We've seen enough. Just like that. They're gone. And like that, he's gone. Little Kaiser Soze. All right, here is DeSantis last night with Trey Gowdy responding to the NAACP issuing a travel advice. Actually, first it's through Disney, the battle with Disney. Look, I personally think DeSantis needs to move on from this. I do. I mean, early on, I thought it was fine, but I think he's got to move on from this. This is now, if he's going to run for president, like, you know, move on. But maybe you disagree with me on this point. He thinks that there are Republicans taking Disney's side. I think that's a dig at Trump. Cut 4.
So first of all, Florida stands for the protection of children. We believe jamming gender ideology in elementary school is wrong. Disney obviously supported injecting gender ideology in elementary school. They did oppose our parents' rights legislation. And the fact is, when they opposed it, that was a big deal because for 50 years, anytime Disney wanted something in Florida politics, they pretty much got it. But not this time. I signed the bill. We did, as you say, win on the issue. But what happened was Disney's posturing, some of the other statements that their executives were making, kind of the corporate culture had really been outed as trying to inject matters of sex into the programming for the youth. And I think a lot of parents, including me, look at that and say, that's not appropriate. I mean, we want our kids to be able to just be kids. And that's kind of our mantra. So you had this setup that Disney engineered many decades ago, where they actually had their own government that they controlled with no accountability. They were exempt from the laws that all their competitors had to follow. Massive tax breaks, and they even racked up municipal debt. And Florida basically put them on a pedestal many decades ago and joined the state with this one company at the hip. We just didn't feel that we were comfortable maintaining that relationship. And so we ended their self-governing status. So Disney has to live under the same laws as everybody. They got to pay the same taxes as everybody, and obviously they'll be responsible for those debts. So the reason why there's a, quote, fight is just because they filed a lawsuit against the state of Florida trying to get their special privileges reinstituted. But I don't think that that's good policy. And I think some of these Republicans that are taking Disney's side, they're basically showing themselves to be corporatists, because these are all corporate goodies. This is not the way you would run a competitive economy. And the arrangement had really outlived its usefulness, but it persisted because Disney was so politically powerful. I think the company's ethos have changed in a way that's alienated a lot of people in our legislature and in Florida. And so there was really no justification to keep it. But make no mistake, they're suing to try to get special privileges. People are making money in Florida hand over fist because we have a great business climate. That's not good enough for them. They want to be treated differently than Universal and SeaWorld, and we don't think that that's appropriate. So, you know, I think that they should withdraw the lawsuit, but obviously we're going to defend our actions because we think we have the right to do what we did.
Your thoughts on that, let me know what you think. You can comment along on YouTube or on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Do you think that DeSantis should kind of move on now from the battle with Disney, or is it good that he's going after this woke company, and should he do more of it? Should everybody do more of it? Target today announcing that it is doubling down on its pride displays. And remember, nobody had an issue with pride. Everybody had an issue with pride children's displays. When you start bringing this stuff with the kids, that's where people say you're wrong here, this is wrong. But of course Target doesn't see that, and they're doubling down now on woke after they got smacked by California Governor Gavin Newsom. So the NAACP, of course, came out, as you know, and they said that Florida was hostile to black people, which is crazy, of course, because Florida, as we told you the other day, has the number one amount of black owned businesses. The president or the chairman of the NAACP, one of them, lives in Florida and was issuing a warning about coming to basically his state because he lives there. It's insane, right? And you had this whack job member of Congress the other day who came out and said, I was in Florida with my kids and my family for spring break. I'm a black lesbian, and it's basically a terrorist state. Well, but we had a great time, though. It was a blast. Nothing happened to her bad, of course, but, you know, this is the fear factor. So DeSantis was asked about that. He responded, cut number five.
The NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. You look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt. These left-wing groups have been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture a narrative. Now, the good news is fewer and fewer Americans are gullible enough to believe this dribble. And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk these lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is we want everybody to succeed regardless of their skin color. We don't divvy up people by race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African-Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit, not because we're trying to play identity politics. And if you want to look at education, the black students in Florida perform much higher than black students in most other states. We rank number 3 in fourth grade reading and number 2 in fourth grade math amongst our black student population. And oh, by the way, the head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship Florida vacations where they seem to be having an awful good time.
You know, it's funny too when you think about this moment of time where we are right now, where no matter if it's Trump or it's DeSantis, they want to paint them as being a racist, a sexist, homophobe, a transphobe, blah, blah, blah. This is what they do. This is what they're doing right now. In fact, the DNC chair, Jamie Harrison, was on MSNBC's Morning Joe. And there's no one. I mean, they're all lunatics from the DNC's perspective. This is what they're going to do for the next 10 months. I'm going to tell you what the game plan is. Ready? The game plan is they're all MAGA. They're all extremists. They're all lunatics. They're all crazy like Trump. Don't think any of them are okay. At least there used to be a time when Democrats would say, well, this is a politically acceptable Republican. Now, there are politically acceptable Republicans like Sununu in New Hampshire. The Democrats would love that. Chris Christie, they would love that too. But they also know that those guys have zero chance. You know, if Chris Christie gets in the race, it's to audition for DeSantis's cabinet, right? He will try to do to Trump what he did to Marco Rubio. Remember that time Marco Rubio was on the debate stage and Chris Christie said, there it is. There it is. That whitewashed corporate whatever speak, the politician speak, killed Marco Rubio in that debate. You remember. He'll try to do the same thing this time around to help DeSantis win so that he can become attorney general in Ron DeSantis's cabinet. That's why he'll run. I mean, that's what he's about. And Sununu, who wants to run against the governor of New Hampshire, probably the same thing. I guess they think if they all pile on against Trump, that that'll somehow help DeSantis. But, and then I guess if they all drop out in time to make sure that they don't take away the votes from DeSantis, maybe that's the strategy here. They can at least get high-level cabinet positions. Because they know they're not going to win, right? I mean, you can't be Chris Christie right now and actually think you can win. 1%, and I'm being generous, in New Hampshire. You can't be Sununu from New Hampshire and think you have a shot at becoming president of the United States when you are at 1% in your own state of New Hampshire. So stop. So then what's the strategy? The strategy for them is, I will take shots at Trump on your behalf. We'll kill him. We'll all kill him. It's like when you see an animal in the wild, and then all the other animals jump in and take down that person as a kill. But then eventually the alpha turns around and just yells at all of them and they all run away and the alpha eats everything, you know. And then maybe they get the scraps. It's kind of like that. At some point, if it looks like they're going to hurt DeSantis from getting the delegates that he needs to win the Republican nomination, well, then at that point, they'll get out or they'll give him their delegates, which is always a possibility as well. But they'll be in it long enough to hurt Trump so that they can get a high-level job in DeSantis's cabinet. That's what their strategy is. It doesn't matter, though, from the DNC's perspective. They're all bad. They're all bad. Cut number 9.
As Democrats think about this presidential election, you've got all kinds of races that you're concerned about down ballot, I understand. But is the calculation that Donald Trump remains the better candidate to run against, that you have a better shot at beating him than Ron DeSantis? Or do you watch last night and go, well, actually, maybe he's the better match for us?
They're all bad. They're all extreme. And that's the thing. You look at all of the major issues that people really care about. You look at about abortion. They all believe in a national abortion ban.
Guns.
To some extent. Guns. Again, they side with the NRA over families and our kids. We look at the banning of books. This is America. You know, and the Republican Party, I grew up under the Ronald Reagan Republican Party. They surrounded themselves in the American flag. Well, part of America is freedom, the freedom to speak, the freedom of choice. And these guys are everything against freedom. And it's just sad to see where the Republican Party has come.
All right, I can't take it anymore. What? Thank you. I can't stop. It's making my head hurt. So book bans. The book ban. Not a single book has been banned in the state of Florida. Nobody's not allowed to think. That's the new thing now. You're not allowed to think. Okay, right. I wish that guy would think. It would make it a lot easier. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So have you heard about the banned poem? Yes, a poem that was banned from a Florida school, except it wasn't. And I'll give you all the details about that as we continue. But you know what, Henry? It's 5:20-ish. Let's do it.
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip. WPHT.
Why can't you just be a good boy and die?
You first. You second. Up! Situation analysis. Hopeless. You have no backup, no escape route. And I have the only bargaining chip.
Where is she?
Ah, yes. Your fatal weakness. Room off. Bring her in. Lovely girl. Tastes like strawberries.
I wouldn't know.
I would.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, executive producer Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, if you know the name of that movie and your caller number 12, you will win a $50 gift card to Metro Diner.
Yes, Sharon Kennedy, that is Pierce Brosnan, but can't give you any more hints than that. 855-839-1210. So, Matt DeSantis, I did not see the story. Come back on camera, if you would, for just a moment here. I didn't see the story about the poem that was banned. I didn't know a poem was banned.
Well, it kind of wasn't.
Oh! Really?
Yeah. But we've got plenty of audio. I don't know if you want me to explain it or if you want me to take you to the CBS News report on the banned poem. They sort of correct themselves at the end of this report, which is interesting.
So the theory was that a poem was banned in a classroom in Florida. Is that right?
Correct. One parent complained and said it wasn't appropriate for grade school children. And then as the story goes, it was banned.
Banned. All right. And we have the corporate media. Should we kick off with CBS News peddling the tall tale about a poem being banned? Should we start there?
Sure.
Let's start there, shall we?
Let's begin with ongoing controversy over book banning in schools, this time involving Amanda Gorman, the first National Youth Poet Laureate. A grade school in South Florida restricted access to Gorman's acclaimed poem, The Hill We Climb, after one parent filed a complaint. Gorman wrote that work for President Biden's inauguration in 2021. Let me play a sample for you.
If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promised glade, the hill we climb, if only we dare it. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it.
According to documents shared by the Florida Freedom to Read Project, the parent said Gorman's poem, which turned into a best-selling book, was, quote, not educational, and indirectly included, quote, hate messages. The parent also said, get this, Oprah Winfrey wrote the book. Of course, she did not. Gorman responded saying she was, quote, gutted, and that she wrote the poem so young people could see themselves in a historical movement. The school district says no literature has been banned or removed, but it determined that The Hill We Climb is better suited for middle school students and was shelved in the middle school section of the media center.
I mean, I'd say a couple things about this. First, it feels almost like a non-story.
Wait, stop. It feels like a non-story because it's not a story. So basically, the poem is still in the school. Let me understand this correctly. It's still in the school. They just moved it to a different section of the school.
It's still in the library. It's just a different section of the library, I believe. Yeah.
They moved it from the shelf on the left to the shelf on the far left, but it's still in the same library in the same school. And CBS Morning News just spent, 2 minutes on a story?
It's a far walk.
About a book that's literally still in the same library.
So anyone that wants to access it can still access it. It's just in a section of the library that is designated for older children, basically. But that wouldn't prevent anyone younger from wandering over there and accessing it if they wanted it.
It's like, well, today they banned toilet paper at the school. Parents are outraged. And just to be clear, they didn't ban toilet paper. They moved it from the janitorial closet to the basement. Be like that, kind of similar to that. Yeah. Actually, not even so, because it's still in the same room. So that analogy doesn't even hold up.
Moving
now, back it up for me a little bit, Matt DeSantis, if you could, where the guy says this sort of feels like a non-story. I don't know who that person is in the clip, but whoever he is, he's probably right.
Yeah, here he is.
In the middle school section of the media center.
I mean, I'd say a couple things about this. First, it feels almost like a non-story because it is a decent compromise to put it in the middle school section. I'm sure if you're a really advanced elementary schooler, you can walk over there. Second thing, and speaking as a parent of four, if you've got a fifth grader or a fourth grader who is sophisticated enough to be going through libraries and grabbing books off shelves, they can handle the content of a book like that, or really any book. I mean, that's advanced.
As long as the availability is there for students. Obviously, banning of books, far larger issue, but availability has to be there of this material.
Yes.
So what? They should have unlimited copies so that it's always there for anybody? Because what happens if you go to the library and they find out that the book's not there? And you go, is it banned? No, somebody checked it out. Well, then it's not available enough, and I'm outraged. What a dumb story. What a dumb, dumb story. And nobody's banning books, and this poem was not banned. They moved it to a different section. But here is now Ron DeSantis mocking the media for hyping the fake story that Amanda Gorman's poem was banned from a Miami-Dade school. Cut 13.
Actually, there was the one this week was that Miami-Dade County took a book that was about like poems from I think like Biden's inauguration, and they moved it from elementary school library to middle school library. The media tried to act like somehow this is being banned, and you actually had Miami-Dade County Public Schools spokesperson have to come out and say there's nothing that's been banned or removed. It was basically just determined that this particular book was better suited for middle school. And so they put it in the middle school media center. And the media tries to act like somehow that is offending something with a book ban. So, but I think part of the reason that they're doing that is because, you know, there is actually a movement to ban books from like Amazon and some of these others. California, some municipalities have banned things like To Kill a Mockingbird. What they're trying to do is see if some of these books pass a woke test. And if they don't, they are going against some of those books. Whereas in Florida, you can buy whatever book you want. But that's a different question than what would be appropriate for a third grader or what would be appropriate for a sixth grader. Government, by definition, has to make those choices about what type of curriculum we want to put in front of our students.
Yeah, well said. I think it's actually a very good answer that he gave right there. Does that stop the idiots on MSNBC, though, of course, from whining about it last night? Lawrence O'Donnell, the craziest man on television, actually sitting there whining about the fact that there was a ban on this poem with a congressman, a member of Congress, Representative Maxwell Frost of Florida. Now, you think these people would know better. You think these people would realize that this is a fake story, non-story. But when you want to think about what fake news is, let me give you the very definition of this. Cut 14.
Exactly, exactly. And we see this with Republican policies all the time. They want to legislate away just to give themselves wedge issues for elections. But all this legislation really doesn't impact them or their children. And I'm talking about the leaders of the Republican Party, but it's for everyone else. It makes me think about this whole thing in Florida where they're always talking about socialism. And then they go and legislate and give socialism to corporations and then harsh competitive for working families everywhere else. It's the same thing with the book banning, and it's complete hypocrisy, and people see through that. And I think with DeSantis now being on even more of a national stage, people are going to reject this far-right fascism is what it is. I'm just defining what it is, book banning, telling people they're not who they are, criminalizing immigrants, and doing everything that he can do to set himself up to run for president rather than run the state of Florida.
So they're whining about a poem that wasn't even banned, not a single book that's been banned. But he's right. When it comes to woke, yeah, woke wants to ban everything. No question about it. 855-839-1210. John is in Harleysville. He's got the movie for us today. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, my man. Happy almost Friday.
I hear you. I'm stuck in short traffic.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you in KMA tomorrow. Are you going to stop by?
I'm actually going to Delaware beaches, so not in Cape May tomorrow.
All right, the lesser beaches. That's all right. We'll let it pass.
All right.
What's the movie today, John?
It is GoldenEye. James Bond.
It is GoldenEye. Yes, and we know that the wonderful, great GoldenEye song was sung by.
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. She just died.
Tina Turner. All right.
Yes. Well done.
Thanks for the hit.
Happy to help. No problem. Hey, listen, buddy. Thanks for listening to the show. Have a safe drive to the shore and enjoy your long weekend.
Thank you. You take care. Enjoy.
All right, John. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. Listen, summer is here. I mean, tomorrow is the unofficial start of summer, but the summer heat is already rolling in, and you want to make sure that you do something about it if your home is older, like mine is older, and that is USA Insulation. They will come to your home, and they will inject their premium foam insulation into your walls from the outside. Now, that is going to create a foam barrier. It's going to keep the air you're paying for inside your home, and the hot air is on the outside where it belongs. In fact, USA Insulation is so good at this, and they've helped over 100,000 homeowners. I'm one of them. They're now offering a referral credit. Every person that you send over there, you'll get $500. Pretty good, right? Plus, if you are a new customer, not only will you have the benefits of a lower energy bill and a more comfortable home, USA Insulation will cover the cost of the labor you pay for the foam, and you still get the $1,200 government tax credit. So what are you waiting for? Just call them today at 1-800-USA-FOAM. Or go to usainsulation.net and do what I did and what so many people have done to make all the difference for their home. usainsulation.net. They can even help brick homes as well. And remember, this offer ends at the end of this month, and that's almost here. So get the free labor when you pay for the cost of the foam. usainsulation.net.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Zeoli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so China went after the United States Navy. Mm-hmm. According to a story that just broke a short time ago on CNBC, the United States Navy was impacted by Chinese state-backed hackers, according to the Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro. The infiltration was first flagged by Microsoft and the NSA on Wednesday and targeted infrastructure in the United States and Guam. Critical communications, maritime, and transportation infrastructure was compromised. And this is from China. Chinese cyber attacks, and the Secretary of the Navy said, quote, "It's no surprise that China has been behaving in this manner, not just for the last couple years, but for decades." For decades. The Secretary of the Navy declined to provide further detail on the incursion, but suggested that the Navy had been contending with cyber attacks like this for years. Microsoft issued a warning alongside top intelligence agencies and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency on Wednesday, alerting corporate and public enterprises that a sophisticated Chinese state-backed hacking group had successfully exploited a vulnerability in a popular cybersecurity suite. The vulnerability, which was exploited by a group codenamed Vault Typhoon, impacts critical cyber infrastructure across a range of industries. Microsoft noted that the Chinese hackers had targeted communications and maritime sectors in Guam, which is home to a key United States military base. And thank God it has not tipped over yet, but it may because of climate change. The hacking group appears to have been focused on surveillance rather than disruption. But top intelligence officials and researchers expressed concern that Guam had been targeted, telling the New York Times that the island territory would be crucial to fending off a long-feared invasion of Taiwan by China. Chinese Foreign Ministry and State Control Press have dismissed the findings from Microsoft and the intelligence community as, want to guess, yes, disinformation. A State Department spokesperson said it was vital for both the government and the public to stay vigilant. We will continue to work with our allies and partners to address this critical issue, said spokesperson Matthew Miller at a briefing. Interesting. China's our buddy. I don't think anybody has anything to worry about. China is our friend. No question about it. China is our friend. Kyrsten Sinema, who is a former Democrat, she represents Arizona, of course, in the United States Senate. She was on Fox News, and she was talking to Trey Gowdy about this point. The border. The border is not secure. This country is not prepared for what's happening at the southern border. I know that the media now has gone back into the idea that the border is no longer a story, but it is a story. Oh, by the way, that professor who threatened to chop up that reporter has actually been arrested. Yeah, that nutbag professor in New York was the one who first went after those pro-life people at the pro-life students at who were just all they were trying to do is have a display at the student union. And she harassed them and targeted them. Then when a New York Post reporter came to her home to ask her some questions, she proceeded to chase him down the street with a machete trying to chop off his head. Well, she's since been arrested, so I guess there's that. When it comes to the border, I know the media wants to pretend like it's no longer a story, but it still is a story. We will not let it die. Here's what Senator Kyrsten Sinema said about it. Cut 26.
Well, that's a tough question, Trey. The reality is that in the Tucson sector of the border, we're seeing an increasingly large number of individuals who seek to enter the country while evading detection from authorities, which means there are still lots of individuals who want to come to this country, not for good purposes, not seeking asylum, but to sneak into the country and engage in whatever activities they're interested in. We also know that this sector of the border has massive amounts of fentanyl coming in between the ports of entry, being smuggled in through the desert. So it brings up two issues. Number one, the need for increased Border Patrol agents, increased technology, manpower, and the ability to actually interdict both folks who seek to do bad in our country and the trafficking of drugs. And then second, this again notes the fact that the administration was not prepared for the end of Title 42, and we, as Congress, must take action to change the asylum system in our country to stop it from exploitation by international criminal cartels like Sinaloa.
You know, the New York Times had a story regarding Taiwan and China. I think about the United States right now being weak on two fronts, the southern border And also when it comes to China. And I think that there's a relation there, because we had a story the other day about all these Chinese nationals who are coming across the southern border. And we know that China has opened police stations in the United States of America. We know that China has been spying on the United States of America. So it would make no surprise that China is trying to exploit the weakness of the southern border, right? This cyber attack, this malware attack, we know that Taiwan's the real target, right? I mean, you know that. This is what this is doing here, is this is China's way of preemptively planning to stop anything that might disrupt their planned invasion of Taiwan, because they're planning it and they're thinking about it. The Secretary of the Navy's comments today that this is something that they expect and something that is going on for a long time makes me really worried as well. And this code, which was installed by Chinese government hacking group, set off alarms because Guam would be a centerpiece of any U.S. military response to a move against Taiwan. So is this now China maybe possibly doing a dry run? In the 6 o'clock hour, I'm going to get into a little bit more from Senator Marco Rubio. They look into, of course, the origins of COVID-19. They found that it did come from a lab. It was most likely the Chinese military who was behind it. And Senator Rubio points out a very important point on the timeline that we don't talk enough about. China said COVID came around December of 2019, but they were shutting schools in September of 2019. So, was COVID a dry run also for a bioweapon that just got out of control? Volt Typhoon, a vast Chinese intelligence collection effort that spans cyberspace, outer space, and, as Americans discover with the balloon incident, the lower atmosphere. Biden administration has declined to discuss what the FBI found as it examined the equipment recovered from the Chinese spy balloon, but that craft, better described as a huge aerial vehicle, apparently included specialized radars and communications interception devices that the FBI has been examining since the balloon was shot down. I guess the question I have is that related to this? Is the balloon related to Chinese malware systems, and is all of this kind of a dry run by China? It's worth asking the question. We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about this tomorrow. President Biden, of course, has nothing to say. He never will. China's got a lot on him, as you can imagine. So there you go. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today on all the issues we are talking about on the show. And keep it coming on Twitter as well. We will continue streaming till about 6 o'clock, and then we'll stop. We're only allowed to do an hour a day, but... Oh, you caught that?
I noticed it.
All right, I don't know if you caught that or not, but my favorite clip of the day today comes from Debbie Dingell of Fox News. She was on with Neil Cavuto, and so Cavuto asks her, you know, would you be open to this? Oh, there you are. Hey guys, how are you? There is a delay on YouTube. I'm noticing that. So when I see you on YouTube, why does it take a few seconds?
Well, wait, you're watching on YouTube?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I wanted to bring up my viewer count.
That's why. All right, I understand that, but watching it makes no sense.
Artificially inflating it by one person?
Yeah, I'm number 63.
It's just like we have a delay on radio. It's a delay on the stream.
Oh, I see. All right, so I'm going to get out of there. All right, so I see. So just watch it on the... all right, now I understand.
Is it really all that important if you have a, like, 63rd person watching on YouTube? There's tens of thousands of people listening on the radio.
Hundreds of thousands listening on the radio.
See, well, that proves my million. Point even further.
Don't sell the show short, Matt.
Well,
billions!
I was trying to be modest.
Well, I appreciate that. Modesty has no place on this show, of course. None whatsoever. But is this your favorite card of the day? Tomorrow we'll save the Hillary Clinton stuff for Kate May, I think. We'll all need to have a drink or two before we can listen to that shrill voice.
The Hillary Clinton audio is some of my favorite audio of the entire week, so we definitely have to use it tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be like a week in review kind of a thing. But is Cut 15 your favorite, or do you have another clip that's your favorite?
Debbie Dingell. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So this congresswoman goes on TV with Neil Cavuto to talk about the debt ceiling and also where they could cut things in the budget. Her admission here is quite revealing. Cut 15.
Where would you be open to this sort of a freeze?
I'll get in trouble if I give you some ideas, but there are clearly areas of that we should be looking at and putting on the table.
Like?
While I think there are programs we have to for sure continue to support,
such
like
as,
veterans
such
and
as?
Medicaid. You know, there's sometimes when I look at where we spend our research and the infertility of certain bugs, I have a question on that. But I think better rather than sitting here on talking on Fox, we should be sitting at a table and looking at this before by the end of this fiscal year.
Hmm. So she might get in trouble if there are if she admits there are places you can cut in the budget. That's pretty amazing. I'll get in trouble if I give you some of my ideas. Because the Democrat talking point is there's nowhere to cut. Nowhere to cut. Stop. And Hunter Biden, back in the news, an Internal Revenue Service whistleblower who alleged prosecutors mishandled an ongoing tax evasion probe into Hunter Biden, spoke publicly for the first time on the CBS Evening News. Gary Shapley. We have a little bit of audio of this from the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. I'm amazed that CBS News went there, but I think CBS Evening News would like to get him out of the race. How about this conspiracy theory, Matt DeSantis? You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Governor Gavin Newsom may have to appoint somebody to the United States Senate soon if Dianne Frankenfeinstein can't do the job. The word on the street is it would be Oprah Winfrey.
I love it.
All right. He appoints Oprah Winfrey to the United States Senate. And then we are all distracted by Michelle Obama running for president. What if the queen herself, Oprah Winfrey, jumps into the race as they take Joe Biden out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Oprah Winfrey makes it to the Senate, no chance she doesn't ultimately end up running for president. Right. If she's going to get involved in politics, she might as well go all the way.
Because, you know, to Susie's point, Michelle Obama has said she doesn't want to do it. I don't know if Oprah's ever gone on the record about that, but it seems to me like Oprah's into trying anything, like crack. I mean, she did, you know, back in the day. So she's up to for trying new things. So, I mean, why not, right?
I imagine she's pretty popular, too.
So I think CBS News wants Joe Biden gone, which is why CBS News is bringing up the Hunter Biden scandal so they can try to get rid of Joe Biden so they can get Oprah Winfrey to become president of the United States. That's my big conspiracy theory, and I'm going with it. Don't talk me out of it. Cut number six.
Hold on. All right, here we go.
When I took control of this particular investigation, I immediately saw it, you know, was way outside the norm of what I've experienced in the past.
Gary Shapley is a supervisory special agent for the IRS, where he's worked for 14 years. In January 2020, he was assigned to what he calls a high-profile investigation.
Who's the subject of the investigation?
I can't confirm or deny the subject of this investigation.
Why not?
Because, you know, part of the tax secrecy laws don't allow it.
Shapley can't say it, but CBS News has learned the investigation was the probe of Hunter Biden by the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney in Delaware. Senior Biden administration officials have vowed to let it run its course without interference.
It's not restricted in his investigation in any way.
But CBS News has obtained this letter Shapley's lawyers sent to Congress Monday, alleging irregularities in DOJ's handling of the investigation. Shapley is seeking legal protections from Congress so he can share specifics of his allegations.
There was multiple steps that were slow walked at the direction of the Department of Justice.
Had you ever encountered that before?
I have not, no. These deviations from normal process, and each and every time, it seemed to always benefit the subject.
Shapley says he decided to blow the whistle after a heated meeting last October with federal prosecutors.
It was my red line meeting. It just got to that point where that switch was turned on, and I just couldn't silence my conscience anymore.
Did you let prosecutors know you were unhappy?
I don't think I can answer that.
Hunter Biden has denied any wrongdoing.
Like civil servants.
The IRS agent told us he is a registered Republican. His whistleblowing is being assisted by an advocacy group with past ties to the GOP. But Shapley says this is not about politics.
Why do you want to navigate these waters? Well, I don't want to do any of this. I took an oath of office, and when I saw the egregiousness of some of these things, it no longer became a choice for me. It's not something that I want to do. It's something that I feel like I have to do.
There you go. All right, listen, we got a big 6 o'clock hour coming up. I want to remind you, live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, tomorrow, 3 to 7 p.m. Please join us for it. It's going to be a blast. We're going to get into the Supreme Court rulings coming up. There's some big wins for liberty today before the high court. But I want to tell you, my buddy Dr. Mike Venneri is a great friend and a great friend of the show and my dentist and my family's dentist, and he is the master of dental implants. So please reach out to him today for all of your dental needs, including dental implants. Just go to VenneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenneriaDental.com. He will handle all of your family's needs, pediatric, general, cosmetic dentistry, and yes, those very important dental implants. Pain-free root canal treatment available as well. Two offices to serve you, Sinaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey, right over the bridge. So don't wait. See him today. Dr. Mike Venneria. Mama Zioli's traveling up from South Carolina to see him. It's worth you coming over the bridge to see him. And you'll love the conversation. You'll love his values. And you will love what he will do for your smile. Dr. Mike Venneria, my dentist, my friend, and the master of dental implants, VenneriaDental.com.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.